Chapter 2. When we reached the road, it was both muddy and rocky, but at least it was fairly flat. So we all paused for a moment to look around at each other, and I saw how exhausted my wives were. Their cheeks were flushed and their hair was sweaty, but I had to admit they looked pretty sexy after all the physical exertion. "So, who wants to make out?" I joked.
"Toe, I've never been more tired in my life,"
Sienna laughed.
"I believe this wouldn't be the first time I've told you I'm much more comfortable in a castle than in the woods. And, gods forbid, climbing up a gigantic hill."
"I may have heard you say that once or twice about castles," I snickered, and I squeezed her around her waist. "Let's just hope we can find Rachel soon, and then hopefully you'll be back in the royal surroundings you deserve."
"I hope so,"
Jessamine giggled.
"I don't know if we picked the wrong place to get off this ship, but that forest was completely crazy. Can you still hear the wolf singing?"
"All those animals were so creepy." I shuddered at the thought. "I thought those bunnies were going to be so cute they'd make everything better, but their tails, so weird."
"Oh, we've definitely seen some strange things on our travels,"
Sienna said, and she wiped a dirty hand across her brow and left a huge streak of mud on her forehead.
"Shit, did that just make things worse? I feel like it did. Anyway, I've seen a lot in Fairyland, but I've never, ever seen animals like that, or one that's been turned into a zombie." "Me neither,"
Jessamine told us. And I thought it was sweet when she used the edge of her cloak to attempt to wipe the dirt from her sister wife's face.
"Hold still, Sienna. Anyway, I have to admit, I've never even climbed a hill like that before. I always spend so much time on my palace grounds, and that forest was even different than the one where we met Sienna."
"So..."
Ariana gasped, and I turned to look at the redhead who appeared to be barely able to speak.
"I... take it none of that was normal? I've read a lot of books about the surface, as you know, but that was beyond anything I've ever seen. I know there's some weird stuff when you get really far down into the water, but from your reactions, it doesn't seem like any of those creatures were normal at all."
"Absolutely not," I shook my head vigorously. "Nothing like anything I've ever seen. Those were monsters from my nightmares, and I'm really, really glad we're out of the woods. And Ariana, you did an amazing job for someone who's barely walked before in her life."
"Thanks, Joe."
The mermaid blushed, and she kicked her boots against the rocks on the ground before she started to laugh.
"I don't think my feet have ever actually had the chance to hurt before. I certainly hope it gets easier from this point."
"I think we all do,"
Jessamine confirmed, and then she grabbed both of her sister wives' hands and pulled down on their arms.
"So, who wants to find a town? Which way should we go?"
I glanced down the road in both directions, and I honestly wasn't sure how to figure out where we were going next. I figured we'd find something if we traveled far enough either way, but I knew we needed to get somewhere sooner rather than later. The rain was starting to come down a little harder, and the sky was beginning to grow dark for the evening.
"I think we should definitely go downhill,"
Sienna suggested.
"I've had enough climbing for the day."
"Sounds like a plan." I nodded at my wives, and they began to walk in front of me hand in hand down the gently sloping path. "I'm just glad to see this road seems at least a little bit worn down, and I hope we'll at least run into another traveler at some point." I was amazed to see that even after everything we'd just been through, the three princesses were virtually skipping down the road. They seemed to have recovered their happy dispositions despite the horrific forest, the climb, the rain, and the heavy packs on their backs. And I was amazed yet again at how resilient they were. These women were nothing short of incredible.
"Wait, I think I see something,"
Jessamine called out after a while, and she pointed down the road.
"It's really faint, but I think I see lights up ahead."
"Oh, gods, I hope so,"
Sienna groaned.
"I didn't want to complain, but my feet are killing me too."
"You're not the only one," I chuckled. "Jessamine, I really should have had you make me a pair of socks."
"Maybe they'll have something for sale like that there, if it is a town,"
my dark-haired wife replied.
"I feel so desperate for new clothing. I'll knock on the peasants' doors and offer them jewels if we have to."
"I hope it doesn't come down to that,"
Sienna laughed.
"What if the people are as creepy as the animals? Sienna, don't say that.
Jessamine gasped as her dark eyes grew wide.
Oh, I hope they aren't glowing or have pointy tails or even antlers.
Ugh, I shuddered. Can we just pretend that never happened?
Yes, sounds good to me,
Ariana said with a nod.
But I do see the lights Jessamine was talking about, which is encouraging.
Let's speed up,
Jessamine chirped, and she pulled Sienna and Ariana down the road at practically a run. So I started to jog to keep up with them, and I couldn't believe how much energy they still had. We headed down the road for 1,000 more yards, and we soon found the source of the light. A couple of large torches were lit in the center of a rudimentary town square, and they were surrounded by approximately a dozen dingy log houses. There were no people out in the rain, though, and the princesses and I looked around at each other in the quickly diminishing daylight. They had all pulled their cloaks over their heads to protect themselves from the drizzle, and I wished I had some sort of hat. "Do we just knock on someone's door?" I asked my wives, because they generally knew what to do in these situations better than I did.
"I'm not sure."
Sienna shrugged and looked around helplessly.
"They certainly aren't giving us the royal welcome like they did under the sea. Not that they would have any idea who we are. That building seems a little larger than the rest, I suppose."
My blonde wife pointed to a cabin that appeared slightly bigger than the others, and I noticed a faint light glowing from its simple windows and smoke coming out of the chimney. Before we could take action, though, a man emerged from the structure we'd been looking at. And although we were only about a dozen feet away, he didn't even look at us as he stumbled across the center of town toward one of the houses. "Excuse me, sir," I called out, but he still didn't turn around. "Sir, can you hear me?" The man finally glanced in our direction, and even though he didn't appear impressed, he stopped walking.
"Maybe I should talk to him,"
Sienna suggested, and she took her cloak off her head and fluffed out her hair.
"Maybe I need to work a little princess magic."
"Good luck, but we're all coming with you," I told my blonde wife, and we headed over in the man's direction. When we got closer, I saw the big man was wearing a heavy cloak with holes in it and had a large red nose and watery eyes, and I could smell a distinctive aroma of liquor, body odor, and wet wool.
"Hello, sir. Thank you for stopping for us."
Sienna batted her thick, dark eyelashes at the man and looked up at him with her wide azure eyes.
"I'm Princess Sienna, and this is Princess Jessamine, and this..."
"Never heard of you," the large man snorted. "A princess all the way out here? Good story."
"Okay."
Sienna pursed her lips.
"Well, then, is one of these buildings a store?"
"A store?"
The man echoed the blonde princess, and then he shrugged.
"I suppose you could call a tavern a store of sorts."
He started walking again toward the far side of the village without any more explanation, and I didn't think he could have cared about us less.
"I guess he is just some old drunk," I sighed.
"Is that the tavern?"
Jessamine shouted and pointed at the largest building, but the man continued to stumble away without looking at us.
"All right, never mind. I hate that we were treated that way, but I'm not sure what we can do about it. I really can't wait to find Rachel."
"Me neither," I sighed. The rain seemed to have stopped, but I still felt gross and soggy. "Well, let's go in there and see what it's like, though I don't have high hopes if the rest of the people in this town are anything like him." I headed toward the structure, and the princesses trailed behind. Then I pushed the door open and was immediately overcome by the scent of ale and burning firewood. When I walked inside, I had to let my eyes adjust to the light for a moment before I could make out the rest of the room. I finally realized it was a mostly empty tavern, and I looked around at the inhabitants, who were all men as roughly dressed as the guy we'd seen outside. One man stood with his elbows leaning against a crude counter which had several large bottles on a shelf behind it. But I didn't have high expectations. When the princesses came in behind me, the man at the counter glanced up for a second, looked out into space, and then he did a double take. It appeared that, unlike the man outside, he'd immediately noticed the princess's beauty, and he headed over to us with a leer on his face.
"Hey, thanks for coming in," the man said with a smirk.
He had dirty blonde hair, and he didn't smell so great either.
"You're not from around here, are you?"
Jessamine started to move forward toward him, but I gently held her back with my arm. No, we're not, I said, as I stared him directly in the eyes. I'm Joe, and these are my wives.
Your wives, huh?
The man looked me up and down, and then he flashed me a semi-toothless grin.
Whatever you say, I'm Harold. What the hell are you doing all the way out here?
Do you know anything about Princess Rachel?
Jessamine piped up.
That's who we're looking for.
Princess Rachel?
The blonde man's face broke into an even wider smile, and then he started to laugh.
Miss, does it look like princesses come here?
I looked around at my wives and shook my head. The last thing we needed was for anyone else to suspect we were royalty, because after taking a look at the town, I was afraid of being robbed, or worse. No, I guess not, I shrugged. Right, no princesses. Anyway, I guess we were looking for some warm clothes and maybe some food and one of those bottles over there.
You got money?
Harold asked with a raised eyebrow.
I don't mean to be rude, but you don't really look like you have any money, so whatever you're up to isn't going to work in my tavern.
All right, I sighed, pulled a couple of the gold coins Sienna had given me out of my pants pocket, and held them up to the man. Yes, we have money. Do you have what we're looking for?
Well, we don't normally sell clothes, but I guess I can ask my daughter if she has anything she can spare,
he said, as he eyed the coins with a greedy expression.
Let me call back to her, and I'll have her bring out some food, too. And you said a bottle, so I'll get you that. Our town's finest, just for you.
Great, I replied, and I put the coins back into my pocket for the time being. Harold lumbered away and went over to a door leading to a second room.
Hilda! He yelled. Come out here, girl!
A young woman with the same dirty blonde hair as her father wandered out of the door and looked at us with a suspicious expression. When she saw me and the princesses, though, she glanced down at the ground and her cheeks turned red. She appeared to be around the princess's height, although she didn't have anything close to their figures. She also wore a simple woolen brown dress with an apron and heavy leather boots, and her face was plain and pale.
Yes, father?
Hilda asked as she kept her eyes turned to the ground.
These, ladies here need some warm dresses, her father said, and he turned to my wives. What else do you need?
Maybe some stockings and some heavier cloaks?
Sienna replied, and she smiled at the girl.
Really, anything warm you can spare us.
But father,
Hilda whined,
that'll be pretty much all of my clothing.
Hilda!
The man hissed as he stared down the girl.
Just don't worry about it. I have it taken care of.
If it's a problem, we certainly don't want to take anything from your daughter, I said, as I held up my hands and backed away slightly. We were pretty desperate, but it seemed unnecessarily unkind to take clothes off someone's back.
No, Hilda's fine, the tavern keeper assured me with a rotten grin. She just hasn't seen what's in your pocket yet.
Okay,
Sienna said as she narrowed her sapphire eyes.
I suppose we'll see what she comes up with. If you could just get us some food, that would be wonderful.
Of course, Harold nodded. Go ahead, have a seat.
Thanks, I said. And I looked around the tiny tavern and led us all over to a table by the fire. I'd gotten a chill from the rain, and the warmth was inviting. Two other men were sitting at a table near us, but the room was so small there was really no way of avoiding them. As we passed by, they blatantly stared at us, so I tried to give them a polite smile, but they just looked back down at the table and continued their conversation. When my wives and I had all sat down, we looked around at each other with wide eyes.
I don't really like it here,
Jessamine whispered.
I don't like the way that man looked at us. And even though we really need them, I thought it was rude for him to offer his daughter's clothing, even if we are paying for it. I know,
Sienna sighed.
But at least they don't have antlers.
She raised her eyebrows at us, and we all burst out laughing. That drew a look from the other two men in the tavern, and even though I was completely exhausted, I felt like I had to stare them down again. I noticed their clothes were just as worn and dirty as the other villagers, and I was concerned about what the princesses were actually going to get in the way of clothing. After a moment, the men looked away from me and continued their conversation.
Do you think...
Ariana began. But I shushed her with a finger to my lips because I was suddenly curious about what the two ragged men were talking about. I could only hear part of their conversation, but I tilted my head to listen.
The children... sleeping. A curse from the gods.
I heard a few select words from the man who was the older of the two.
"Old man, says it's the witch,"
the other man slurred in a louder voice, and both of them started laughing raucously.
"Excuse me, this food is for you,"
Hilda announced suddenly, and I realized the girl had come up behind me while I was eavesdropping. Hilda slid four plates containing a simple white fish and what looked like boiled potatoes onto the table along with forks, a large bottle of what appeared to be a clear liquor, and four glasses. Then she shot us a vaguely dirty look.
I guess I'll have your clothing ready for you when you leave,"
she muttered before she turned and walked away.
"Thank you, Hilda,"
Sienna called over to her. But the girl didn't turn back. "More fish?" I teased Ariana, as I gestured to the plates of food. "After all that time under the sea, we're eating even more fish. So you must feel right at home."
"Don't tease me, Joe,"
the mermaid said with pink cheeks.
"It's not my fault we got fish again. And you know you love it anyway."
"I love you, but I'm not sure how I feel about fish anymore," I chuckled. "Anyway, I'm starving, so I'd eat just about anything at this point."
"But would you eat a zombie bear?"
Sienna pointed her fork at me.
"Would you rather have that or fish right now?"
"I think you know the answer to that," I snorted. And I took a bite of my fish, which seemed salty but otherwise flavorless. I took a bite of my potatoes next, which were similarly unseasoned, and then I swallowed my food and grinned. "Oof, definitely the bear."
"Joe!"
Jessamine kicked me under the table.
"That's not very polite. This food is all right. How about a drink?"
My dark-haired wife uncapped the bottle and poured a shot into each of our four glasses. I lifted mine to my nose and sniffed, but I couldn't catch much of an odor. When I tipped back my glass, though, I choked when I realized it tasted more like rubbing alcohol than anything else. "Well, that's strong," I coughed as I wiped my watering eyes. Then I looked around at my wives, who had all wrinkled their noses at the taste of the drink. "I guess it does the trick, though."
"Let's save it for later,"
Sienna suggested.
"To be honest, I want to get out of here as soon as possible. Although, do we need to ask if we can spend the night somewhere?"
Jessamine asked us.
"We are in the middle of nowhere, and it doesn't seem like we have anywhere else to go."
"Well, that is true," I admitted with a frown. "But I'm getting a bad vibe, too." I gestured with my head toward the two other patrons of the tavern, who were just getting up to leave.
"What is it, Joe?"
Ariana whispered. "Tell you in a minute," I said, as I shook my head, and once the two men were safely out of earshot, I began to speak again. "That guy was saying something about children sleeping, the gods, and maybe a witch. I don't know, it just sounded weird."
"It is weird,"
I heard a voice from over my shoulder, and when I turned, Harold was standing right there and apparently listening to every word I said.
"Hey," I interjected. "Did you say something about sleeping children?"
the man asked, and he raised an eyebrow at us.
"What do you know about that?"
"Well, nothing at all," I told him. I didn't like being eavesdropped on, but I didn't want to miss a chance to gather information. "We're new to this kingdom, and I really haven't heard anything about it."
"It's pretty bad," the tavern keeper said as he shook his head. "The children keep falling asleep, and they won't wake up. We suppose it's the gods cursing us, though we can't understand why."
Harold looked at the ceiling and threw up his hands in a gesture of surrender. But I had just one more question. "Do you know anything about a witch?" I asked.
"A witch?"
the tavern keeper repeated, and he started to laugh hoarsely.
"That's crazy talk. Only one person in a village believes that nonsense, and he's just a strange old man. Anyway, you need anything else? I think Hilda brought those clothes for you."
No, we're great." I looked around at all of our empty plates and pushed my chair back to get up, and my wives followed. Jessamine also grabbed the bottle of liquor from the middle of the table and stuck it into the pocket of her cloak, which I definitely appreciated. We walked back over to the counter, and the man handed me a stack of clothing. Then I pulled the two coins out of my pocket and put them down on the rough wood surface, and he grabbed them and put them into his apron. "So we were wondering if there's anywhere for us to stay," I began.
"Of course,"
the man drawled in a deferential tone, but then he grinned again and eyed the princesses.
"No one like you has been here in quite a while, and we're always accommodating to our guests. I can get you anything you need, like another drink or a room. Hilda can sleep somewhere else tonight. Don't worry about her.
Harold winked at me, but I saw his gaze return to the pocket where I kept my coins. Then he looked back up, and I saw a greedy glint in his eyes. Fuck that. There was no way I was going to stay here and let the princesses and me get robbed, or worse.
I think we're going to go, I said with a shrug.
No, you must stay, the tavern keeper insisted, and he held his hand out to me. Joe, my new friend. Like I said, I can get you anything you need. Anything at all.
I think we're good, thanks. I ignored his request for a handshake and put my hand on Jeannie's wrath for a second, and I saw the tavern keeper gulp. Thank you for the offer, but we got what we came for. Come on, ladies, let's get out of here.
Sienna pulled open the door, and we all headed out into the night. The sky was clear now, with only a few clouds floating past the moon, but the air was definitely chilly. I wasn't sure where we were going to spend the night, but I really didn't want to stay here.
What the hell was that about children, Joe?
My blonde wife asked, with a raised eyebrow once we were far enough away from the tavern. I don't even know, I shrugged. I have to admit, this isn't my favorite kingdom, but let's get out of this village. We need to figure out where we're going to spend the night, because this isn't an option.
Well, we're definitely going to need to find a place to change, and a way to stay warm.
Jessamine mused as we passed the outskirts of the tiny, creepy town.
Ariana, how are your magic powers right now?
Not wonderful, but stronger since we got out of those woods,
the redhead replied.
How about you?
I'm feeling a little better, I guess,
my dark-haired wife informed us.
I was just thinking we might be able to create some sort of shelter if we combined our solid bubble with your dryness illusion. I think it's going to be a little difficult for me, but we need to stay somewhere.
Yes, we should definitely try.
Ariana nodded.
The question is, where? How about in that field over there?
Sienna suggested as she pointed to a large flat area about 100 feet away from where we were standing.
I think that's a barn, which could keep any monsters from seeing us.
Fuck monsters, I replied. I'll cut them all down and anyone else who fucks with us. But I suppose that field is as good a place as any, and I can probably even light a fire with my tools.
That sounds good,
Jessamine responded.
Anything to not see those people again. Poor Hilda. Joe, can I hold the clothes?
I handed my raven-haired wife the stack of fabric, and she sniffed it. Well, what do you think? I asked with a smile.
It actually smells clean, unlike anything else around here.
Jessamine shuddered.
Ugh, thank the gods.
We began our short walk over to the barn in the field, and the water from the long grass started to drip into my boots. When I shivered, I realized I'd forgotten to ask for socks at the tavern, but there was no way I was going back. Once we reached the barn, I realized it would be a great shelter for the night. So we walked inside, and I was immediately overcome by the scent of farm animals. But I supposed it would have to do. I could see stalls with what looked like goats in them, though I wasn't too eager to examine the local livestock after what we'd seen in the woods. I wasn't sure who owned the barn, but the door was bolted from the inside, which was enough for me.
This is perfect, even if it is a little stinky,
Jessamine chirped.
I can't wait to change and be warm again.
Moonlight streamed in from a high window, and I watched my dark-haired wife smile as she looked around the inside of the wooden building. I can't wait to watch you change, I said with a grin. In fact,
it's pretty private over here.
Sienna glanced over at me and raised an eyebrow.
But we would need something to lie on, and it's so cold,
Ariana replied, and I could tell from the sound of her voice she was probably blushing. My mermaid wife always turned bright red when we talked about sex, even though she was absolutely amazing at fucking me. This doesn't really take care of that question, but I at least know my flashlight is somewhere in my pack, I told my wives as I began to rummage through my bag. I'd been happy to get all my plumber's tools back on the ship. And now that we were back on land, it would be nice to be able to use my flashlight to see and my blowtorch if we needed to start a fire. Finally, I found the large light at the bottom of my pack, pulled it out, and turned it on. I was happy to see the battery still worked, and I set it down on the ground in the center of the barn. Voila! Light.
Wow, that's amazing, Joe.
Ariana walked over to examine the flashlight with curious aqua eyes.
I've never seen technology like this. You'll have to explain more about it someday.
Yeah, from what I've seen, I don't think anyone in Fairyland has ever had this type of tool before, I told the redhead. I'll definitely show you more of my plumbing stuff later. I think you'd find it really interesting. Jessamine began digging around in her bag, too, and she pulled out a small piece of colorful cloth.
I found it!
A broad grin spread across the dark-haired princess's face.
Do you know what this is, Joe and Sienna? Is it a magic carpet?
Sienna asked in an excited tone.
Wow! I haven't seen this in a while! It is,
Jessamine giggled.
I was thinking we could use it to sleep on, and that would take some of the pressure off my magical abilities for the time being.
Sure, what the hell, I shrugged.
Yes, what the hell, whatever that means. But let's use it,
Jessamine laughed.
Joe and I bonded on this rug, which is a very special memory for me.
Me too, Jessamine. I shot the raven-haired beauty a fond look. There's no way I could ever forget that.
The two of you are cute.
Sienna sighed, and then she rubbed her hands together.
But I need all you cute people to warm me up a little. So, Jessamine, start that transformation.
Jessamine spread the rug out on the ground, and then in a flash, it turned into its true form. The huge carpet was a beautiful crimson with intricate floral designs, and when I flopped down on it, I realized it was generating a great deal of warmth on its own. Hey, Jessamine, I forgot about this part, I told my dark-haired wife. When we bonded on it, it was pretty cold out, but the rug itself was actually warm. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do now,
she responded, and then she sat down next to me and rubbed its soft surface.
Ooh, that feels good.
This rug,
Ariana marveled as she stroked the soft fibers.
I've never seen something so incredible. There's so much I still need to learn.
Well, I assume we're going to be traveling on it sooner rather than later,
Sienna responded, and then she sat down next to me and Jessamine and took her boots and cloak off. The blonde laid down at my side, snuggled up to me, and warmed her feet on my legs.
Yes, this is great. Ariana, we're just waiting for you.
Of course,
the redhead replied, and she came over and sat down.
Wow, the rug is actually radiating heat.
This is going to be nice, I told my wives, and then I wiggled my eyebrows at them. So, who wants to get undressed first?